Okay, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chav Gimel, and today we're back on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. We're a little bit behind in the daf. Okay, we started the new parak. You're going to hear me say that a lot over the course of Erechin. We started the new parak. We just finished the parak. Every parak is two or three blot of Gemara, and they're nine prakim. So you just as soon as you start a parak, you finish one just 2 days 2 days later. Okay, the beauty of Erechin. Everything. The scene changes very quickly. The scene changed yesterday on Shabbos when we started the sixth parak of Erechin, and we talked about Shema Yisomim. Now, it has very little to do with the world of Erechin, but it has a lot to do in terms of the process, in terms of properties being sold off. Now, we're talking about a scenario where dad left, unfortunately, young children and debts and real rachmanis, like just a very, very unfortunate situation. Okay, so the big issue, which I mentioned yesterday, the Mishnah doesn't deal with the big issue. With the large issue, the Mishnah deals with just the detail. The big issue is, do I touch the properties? Do I handle the properties whatsoever, sell off the properties in order to pay off the debt? So as I mentioned yesterday, when I introduced the whole topic yesterday, there's a lot of consideration. Meaning on one hand, the children themselves are not old enough to really understand or negotiate any type of settlement between their father's debts and themselves, meaning they're just simply not mature enough, not old enough, not wise enough. And on the other hand, the people who owe the money are actually owed the money. And so consideration should go out to them, for they are really owed a debt. So the big question, which we're going to be touching on today, is should we even touch the properties at all? Or should we say to all creditors, look, people, why don't we wait? Why don't we wait till they grow up and they're able to deal with the debt themselves? And what the concerns will be, we'll discuss later on this morning. Okay, those are the big issues. The more detailed issues, which we started talking about yesterday, which was the first Mishnah of the Perek, was an issue about how do you sell off the properties? Meaning, let's assume we do sell off the properties, which in of itself is an assumption, but let's assume that we sell off the properties. So how do we do it? So the Mishnah gave us a detail, and the detail is you make a hachraz, you make an announcement for 30 days. I filled in some of the details yesterday as well, which is the first thing that's done really is an appraisal. I mean, we take a look at the property of the estate, and the Beis Din will come up with an appraisal for that property, and that creates a floor, meaning that's the baseline in terms of how much the sale is going to go. When they auction the property, that's the starting price of the auction. And then after that point in time, now for 30 days, they're going to announce properties for sale. They do so, and they make an announcement in the morning and the afternoon, so that when people go to work and when people come home, they're going to hear the announcement, and they'll go and they'll take a walk over to the property, take a look at the property, make inquiries about the property. Good. And also, as part of the declaration, the part of the announcement, we learned yesterday that they also announce why the property is being sold off. It's being sold off in order to pay off creditors. It's being sold off in order to pay ksuva. And the Gemara explained yesterday what's the benefit of telling, of disclosing that kind of information. Good. We also learned one other detail yesterday, which is you really have an option, meaning you can either have the auction go for 30 consecutive days with the announcement being made on 30 consecutive days, or what you could do is you can go and spread it out over 60 days where you make the announcements on Mondays and Thursdays. Right, you count the numbers, you do the math, starting on a Monday, 60 days, right, you make announcements on Mondays and Thursdays, so it's about 7 weeks, 7.5 weeks, and it comes out to 18 days which are going to be announced. So those of you who are in marketing, so you'll tell me what's better, 30 consecutive days or 60 days where the announcement is on Monday and Thursday, and it seems like you have an option, you have a choice. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened then. I guess that calls into question the appraisal. If you can't really find a seller, if you can't find a buyer. Okay, but in the meantime, however, we're back in the Gemara now. Okay, that was all introduction and review, and we're in the Gemara. We're in Chav Beis Amud Aleph, and we're starting about 15 lines from the top of the page with Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi. Okay, in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, and it's talking nichse yisomim ela imken haisa ribis ochels behem. So here comes now the bigger issues. Do you even touch the property of the children? So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yehuda and the name of Rav Asi. We'll call it from this point forward Rav Asi, because the Gemara will. So Chav Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Asi, and he says, "Don't touch the properties." I'll give you one exception, and that's going to be if there is a loan with interest, meaning if the creditor now is collecting interest, So that means, of course, that interest is a killer, because you know how interest works. Interest just keeps accruing over the course of time, and the more you delay in paying the debt, the larger the interest is going to be. And so therefore, time is a serious consideration. That's when we start selling off properties in order to pay off the debt. Otherwise, don't do it. Otherwise, everything is put on hold, and just simply tell everyone to wait. Now, I'm going to, as you already figured out, right, if we're talking about an interest loan, we're talking about where the creditors are going, right? A Jew is not allowed to lend with interest, so the creditor over here can't be a Jew, so it must be that dad must have had to have borrowed money from a guy, and now it's an interest loan, and so that's where we're going to intercede. Otherwise, says Rav Asi, we do not intercede. Rav Yochanan Omer, O l'shtar sheish baribus, olek suva isha mishum zoneh. Rav Yochanan says, I'll give you one other. I agree with Rav Asi, but I'm going to add one other scenario where we are in fact going to sell off the properties in order to pay off, and that's for the Ksuvas Isha. Okay, why? So let me just give you a little bit of background in terms of Ksuvas Isha. Part of the Ksuvas Isha is that if a woman becomes an almana, her Ksuva contract dictates that she's going to be supported by the estate. Okay? And now I know it's a little bit strange, right? I was just learning this with my sons the other day. It's their sons. You would think that the sons would want to take care of them. It doesn't have to be their sons. It could be a woman of a different marriage. But I'm saying even in the case of their sons, you think the sons would want to support mom. But we're talking now legalities. We're talking about ksuva obligations. The estate is obligated to support mom, meaning pay her food bill. Until they pay the ksuva. Once they pay the ksuva, that lump sum payment to the ksuva, or as we'll see in just a moment, once she demands her ksuva, okay, we'll talk about that in just a second. So at that point in time, they no longer have to pay mizonos. Okay, so that mizonos is kind of like interest in the sense that it's going to eat away at the estate, and so time now becomes very sensitive. Time becomes a serious consideration, and so what we're going to do is basically, again, intercede. And we're basically going to say, this is not good if we wait. We can't wait till the kids grow up, because her mizonos is just going to cut away and eat away into the estate, in this case, literally. And so therefore, once again, we're going to intercede. So Rav Yochanan, so you understand Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan, you really have two exceptions. Rav Asi says the one exception is loan with interest. Then we're going to sell off properties. And Rav Yochanan says that, meaning that case, and the case also of Ksuvas Isha. Now, Rav Asi, my time lo amar l'ksuvas isha. Now, why doesn't Rav Asi agree? Sounds like it makes a lot of sense. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because, going back to our ksuvas talk, right, she's going to get mizonos, but she also has to give back, right? It's the quid pro quo of marriage. She gets mizonos, but any of her earnings is going to go back to the husband. Same arrangement with the estate. Estate is going to support her, but all of her Maisei Yadayim are going to go back to the estate. Okay, so in other words, it's not like interest where it just eats into the estate, because there's a return. There's a return on the mizonos. So Rav Asi says, look, Ksuvas Isha, you don't have to worry about that, because it's true they have to support her, but they're also getting earnings. Okay, and the idach. And why doesn't Rav Yochanan like that argument? Zimnan delo stafka. Because look, you can't trust on the fact that her earnings are going to be equal to the mizonos. Meaning she's not forced to work. And even if she does work, you don't know what her earnings are going to be. And her mizonos are, she's got to eat. And she eats, I think, every day. And you know the mizonos is going to be X amount. And you're not really sure if the earnings, thank you. And you're not sure if the earnings are going to satisfy and correspond to the mizonos. Good. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, the Gemara now is going to challenge and probe. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Shema Yisam and Shoshin Yom, Shema Hekta Shishim Yom, Umachrizim Babokar Va'erev, B'may Askinan. So the Gemara says, now, after having quoted the Mishnah, the Gemara says, let's think about this for a moment. What's the case of the Mishnah? Okay, simple question. Ilema Babal Chova V'kochav V'mitzayis. Now, here, let me ask you a question. Are we talking about where the Baal Chov is a non-Jew? The creditor is a non-Jew. So can you imagine? In other words, the estate is in debt to a non-Jew, and you go over to the non-Jew and you say, "Look, I know our court system is gonna demand that you have to wait for 30 days, And the non-Jew is going to look at you and say, good, I'm very happy for your court system. Meanwhile, here's what I know. I'm owed money, right? The principal is no longer alive, but the estate is still there. I'm going after my money. In other words, and he, meaning the father, unfortunately the deceased father, in other words, he went through the trouble of borrowing from a non-Jew on my terms, not on your terms. So the Gemara says, he's even going to listen to you. So the Mishnah, our Mishnah can't be talking about where the creditor was a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, okay, so who's the creditor? Creditor is a Jewish, a Jew who lends. Now, a Jew lending another Jew with interest, not happening. So the Gemara says, Beis Din won't let that happen. Meaning, even if there was a loan with interest, so, right, we tear up the loan document. Meaning, it's usur plus, if discovered, the loan is off. So the Ella Delo Ka'acha Rebisa. So the Gemara says, okay, so there's no interest. Okay. Huh? Heteriska is a modern phenomena. They didn't have Heteriska in the time of the Gemara.
No,
Hillel established the Prusbel, but not the Heteriska. Heteriska is a more modern phenomena. Okay, so they didn't have that. So the Gemara says, so good. So by process of elimination, the only case of the Mishnah is a case where it was a Jew borrowing from another Jew. That's the only case we can conceive of in the Mishnah. V'ketanin is kakin. And what does the Mishnah say? That we're selling off properties. I know that because the Mishnah is talking about the 30-day announcement period. Obviously, we're selling off properties, even though the creditor is a Jew. So that means that there's no interest. Okay. Bishlam Rav Yochanan Mukalabik Sivasisha. So good. So if you're Rav Yochanan, you're comfortable. Why? Because the case of the Mishnah is going to be Ksuvasisha. And as we explained, according to Rav Yochanan, that would be a case where it's very time sensitive. You need to take care of that obligation as quickly as possible. So we'll sell off properties. Ella, just 1 second. Ella Ravasi Kasha. But Ravasi is going to be very uncomfortable because he doesn't believe that you sell off properties for Ksuvasisha. The only case is for a Jew who borrowed money from a non-Jew where there's interest involved. But as we just pointed out, that can't be our Mishnah. So we're kind of stuck according to Ravasi. So I'm Lecha Ravasi, Rav Yochanan. Look, Ravasi says, look, I'm uncomfortable, but don't think that Rav Yochanan is comfortable. He's also not so happy right now. Mishav Kinam Mizona Devada Kamafsada Venaktinan Hachraza Delo Yadinan Imar Vechinan Ilama Vechinan. So the Gemara says, look, in the case of Mizonos, right, Vada Kamafsada, you know this. She's going to be eating for the next 30 days, okay? And so if we delay for 30 days, here's what's definitely going to happen. She's going to eat, literally in this case, eat part of the estate. Okay, now, what are we suggesting? Well, let's wait 30 days because, you know, we're going to appraise the property, and if we do an auction for 30 days, we may get more money. But the key word over here is may get more money. With the auction, you're not guaranteed you're getting a better price. All you're doing is trying to get a better price. So from Rav Yochanan's standpoint, this is just simple business sense. And I'm not a businessman, but this is just simple business sense. Meaning, why take a risk of doing an auction for 30 days where I may make more money on the sale of the property when I know for sure as a fact that we're going to lose by waiting?
But you can't do anything to
the flow sheet. No. This has nothing to do with it. This is not shloshim, not avelis. This is just an issue of do we take care of the, how quickly are we taking care of the loans? Vinaktina, so the Gemara says, Devada kamasa vinaktina nachraza, delo yadini mavrechina lo mavrechina. And we simply don't know if there's a gain in waiting 30 days. So from your perspective, Rav Yochanan, how are you helping the situation? Meaning, what's the point of waiting 30 days for the auction when it just doesn't make any good business sense? So halokasha b'tefas k'suva b'beizdin. So the Gemara says, that doesn't bother me. Why? Why doesn't it bother me? Because she was tovea k'suva. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, and now we'll spend a little bit more time discussing this in detail, a woman stops getting mizonos when? Either A, she gets her k'suva payment, or B, she demands her k'suva payment. Once a woman demands her k'suva payment at that point in time, she's basically saying, I'm out. Meaning, I'm cutting ties with you. If she's demanding her ksuva payment, at that point in time, now she no longer gets mizonos. Now, it's not just a simple demand of ksuva payment. It has to be in front of Beis Din, right? But nevertheless, though, she, at that point in time, now she loses her mizonos. So the Gemara says... So the Gemara Ksuvos brings a debate about that very issue, right? Somewhere in the Tzadis, he asked, "Can the children say, look, we want to stop giving you mizonos, right? It's a debate over there. Right, somewhere in the Tzadis, right? Good, you're with me." Right, because we're learning with our sons. So the Gemara over there brings a machlokas. I think machlokas tanaim. Okay. Anyway, good question. How about that for now?
She still would have
Perfect. Wait. So the betovas ksuva bebeisin. Could Rav Yehuda Mashmol? Damn Rav Yehuda Mashmol. Ha tovas ksuvasa bebeisin ein la mizonos. Once she makes a tefiyah, once she makes a demand in Beis Din, so she no longer is entitled to mizonos. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi is the kukim of the kinin la." So the Gemara says, "Well, she's no longer entitled to mizonos. So why are we selling off properties now?" Meaning, the only reason why we're selling off properties of the children is because something's eating away at the property. Now that she's no longer entitled to mizonos, so why would we? Yeah, why sell? Huh? She is looking for a ksuva, but she's like any other creditor.
Why wait 30 days? She could demand immediately. Or
tell the creditor, look, they're children right now. We're going to wait. Now, why we're going to wait, by the way, it's funny. I haven't really discussed it yet because it's coming up later in the Gemara. But let's just assume right now, like the Gemara is assuming, that we always want to wait. We never want to touch property of the children until they're old enough. So, and over here now that she demanded a ksuva, now she's no longer entitled to mizonos. So now there's no issue of time.
So how is she supposed to survive?
That's she. I mentioned this from the beginning of yesterday. Meaning, in these kind of cases, you always have to take both sides. Meaning, it's a monetary case, so it's not just they're right and she's wrong. Meaning, they both need consideration. All right, so Ella. So the Gemara says, okay, and the Gemara says, I'll tell you, it's very simple. Because essentially, the Gemara is going to say now, yeah, meaning once she demands her ksuva, and now the mizonos has stopped, so once Beis Din has interceded, so Beis Din says, now that we're involved. Meaning, look, we listen to you, the woman, in terms of you, the man for the ksuva, in the sense that no longer in mizonos. So Beis Din now has to turn to the estate and to the children and say, look, we interceded in terms of stopping the mizonos. Now we have to go one step further, which is now we got to sell off properties in order to pay our ksuva. Exactly. Exactly correct. So mikol makom l'revasi kashya. Okay, good. You see what we just did in the last like five lines of Gemara? Basically, we resolve Rav Yochanan. Meaning, we explain that according to Rav Yochanan, I understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about selling lands of children, of minors. When will that happen? Ksuvas Isha. Okay? And why would it happen? Because she was Tovas Ksuva and there's no longer any Mizonos. Okay. In other words, we explained the Mishnah according to Rav Yochanan. But according to Rav Asi, we're kind of stuck. Because according to Rav Asi, the only time you would sell off properties of a minor is only when there's a interest loan with interest. That's the only time. And that would only happen with a non-Jew. And our Mishnah says, oh, let's wait 30 days. You think the non-Jew is going to listen? So the Gemara says, La'olam mebal chov, ovekocham shekiba alav ladom b'dinei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, here's the story. It's an ukimta. The Mishnah is talking about a scenario where the lender was a non-Jew. He lent with interest, but he said at the time of the loan, look, I'm going to go on your terms, meaning not on your terms vis-a-vis interest, as the Gemara is going to make clear in just a moment, but vis-a-vis, we'll go through the Jewish legal system. So the Gemara says, if he's going through Jewish court of law, how can he charge interest? So the Gemara says, okay, so that's part of the agreement. Part of the agreement was, I'm going to charge interest because I can, because I'm not Jewish. I don't have this halacha of, right, ribis. On the other hand, any court proceedings, any adjudication will be done in a Jewish court. that's where we're going. That's where all the judging will be done. So anything that the Jewish court will tell me, outside of the fact that you can't collect interest because I'm collecting, but outside of that, anything that the court will tell me, I'll listen to. You want to suspend the loan for 30 days in order to create an auction? I'll listen. Okay? So it's an ukimta. It's just a case manufactured in the Mishnah in order to defend the position of Rav Asi.
Why can't you just say, I mean, doesn't it be machlokas? One gave one example and one gave
No, but the Gemara says it's a machlokas. In other words, you're right. If it were just the two positions, it'd be fine. But the Gemara says Rav Asi doesn't agree with Rav Yochanan. Okay, Tashma. Ein Ephraim Menichse Yisama Ella Min HaZiboris. Okay? Going back to our discussion, fifth parak of Gittin, we discussed in the Babas many times, three levels of property. Ziboris, Beinonis, Idis. Idis is the best, Beinonis is mid-grade property, and Ziboris is the worst. Ein Nifraim Menichse Yisamim Elam and Ziboris. Whenever properties of the orphans are being sold off to pay off creditors, you sell off the Ziboris property, the low-grade property. B'maya Eskinan. So the Gemara says now, where are we at? So the Gemara says, are we talking about where the creditor is a non-Jew? Creditor is a non-Jew. He's going to say to you like this. Look, I'm very happy that when you Jews owe one another, you have the system of which properties to sell off. But you have to remember, I'm not Jewish. So, I'm not interested in the low-grade property. I want the best property. Right? Simple. Plain and simple. So, and I'm owed the money. So, Your system is a great system, but not for me. So the Gemara says, and again, we now back into the same problem. If now we've established that the creditor is a Jew, so how's their interest? So that means there is no interest. And yet we're selling off properties even though there's no interest. And again, now we're going to go through the same format of question. So according to Rav Yochanan, fine, the case of our Mishnah is talking about where the person who is owed the money is the widow. So the Gemara says, look, even if you are Rav Yochanan, I understand. Why are you talking about the orphan? Do you know that any time you pay off Ksuva, it always comes from Ziboris? Ksuva's Isha, although she's a creditor, she only is going to get Ziboris. Regular creditors get Beinonis. This, a woman, even though she's owed money, is going to get Ziboris. So, Halo Kasha, or Meher Damek Ksuva's Isha, Beinonis. So the Gemara says, okay, what we could suggest is that this Bryce or subscribes to the view of Meir, who holds that Ksuva Sisha is Beinonis, means she's like every other creditor. Or Miyasmi be Ziboris, and then you summon come from Ziboris. Mikoma Komla Ravasi Kasha. The Gemara says, okay, still difficult for Ravasi because I know Ravasi does not allow selling a property for Ksuva Sisha. And the only case is going to be that of a creditor. And here, if the creditor is a Jew, so there's no interest. So what's going on? So as the Gemara says again, see, we're going to go back to the same answer that we said earlier. Same story. The creditor is a non-Jew. There is interest, but he agreed that any adjudication, I'll go to your court. Tashma. Gemara is going to do this again. Amanasli tenli isha l'ksuva ula balchov chovol. When can you sell off property, says this Braisa, to pay off the debt of the widow, the ksuva, I should say, to pay off the ksuva of the widow, which is a debt, or to pay off other creditors. Bishlam abachov bein mar ubein mar kidishaninan. As far as creditor, good. We're going to go back to what we said earlier, meaning it's with interest. It's a non-Jew who's a creditor, who's a lender, and he agreed to go to Jewish court. Good. Now, it also says that you pay off the ksuva. Now, for Rav Yochanan, perfect, because he says, that's the other example, Ela Rav Asi Kasha. So the Gemara says, but according to Rav Asi, why are you paying off the woman her ksuva? Rav Asi says that would not be a scenario where you sell off the property of the children. So the Gemara says, you know what the case would be? The case would be where right before he dies, he says, know this and know this well, I didn't pay off my debts. Okay, and that's, in other words, he wants to, before he leaves this world, he wants to be clear, he wants to be open about everything, and he says, I did not pay off my debts. Which now finally takes us to, really, the underlying issue regarding basically this entire Gemara. Which, it's funny, the Gemara has been discussing it for some time now, and we really haven't touched on the underlying issue. Why aren't we selling off the children's property? Meaning, what's, dad owed money. Correct? That's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. Not only is it a fact, it's substantiated by the fact that all your lenders that we're talking about over here have documentation. Meaning the Baal Chov has a piece of paper, he has a loan document. The woman has a ksuva, another loan document. So in other words, everyone's got documentation. So why aren't we selling off the properties in order to pay off the loans?
Maybe he paid before that.
Okay, so basically, good. So now, we're gonna give two explanations. One explanation, which the Gemara is basically presenting right now, is that we're worried, we're concerned that maybe he paid off the loan before he died. Now, usually in lending in Gemara times, this is how it was done. It was very simple. If I lend money, so a document is written for me, an IOU, okay, not even signed by the borrower, signed by two witnesses who witnessed the event, and then had satisfaction of loan. So he gives me money, I give him the document. And his next move is to tear up the document. Okay, good. That's lending in the time of the Gemara, made easy and simple. Okay, that piece of paper is basically your means of collection. That's your evidence that you're owed the money. And so therefore, under normal circumstances, whenever you're holding that piece of paper in your hand, that means you still owe the money. Good. What we're concerned about is that because he died, there is a possibility, small, but there is a possibility that he paid back and he didn't get a chance to take back the loan document. Now, usually, the two should be switching hands at the same time. The money and the loan document should be switching hands. But the fact that he died leaves a little room, enough room to question maybe he paid back the loan and maybe he didn't get back the loan document. Maybe. So here, if right before he dies, he says, I owe the money, I owe these loans, so at that point in time now, there's nothing left to talk about. We know that he owes the money. He said he owed the money. And so now, we're going to sell off properties. The Gemara's response to that is, Hasha da'asis lahachi kulanami kishachayev moda. So now, it makes you revisit everything we've talked about this morning. Meaning all those cases that we discussed this morning, where we racked our heads to figure out, what's the case? How come we're selling off kids' properties? Now we'll say every single time we have an ace card. Our ace card is Kishachayev Moda, where right before he died, he said, I owe the money. Okay. Merei mar agbek suvasa legrusha minichse diasme. Gemara tells a story. Merei mar collected the ksuva on behalf of a grusha from the estate of minors. Okay? It's a drama. It's a bit of a tragedy. Meaning she got divorced, then her ex-husband died. Ex-husband died, leaving just minor children. Right? There's a lot of tragedy over here. And now what Miramar did is he took from the estate properties, sold the properties in order to pay off the ksuva. So Amalei Ravina la Meimar. So Ravina says to Meimar, you know, you shouldn't have done that. That was incorrect. Rav Yochanan Amar Olishtashish, but Ribis Oluksuvasisha, Mishum Bizone. So look, there are only two exceptions in which you sell off properties of the minors. Number one is for a loan with interest. Number two is going to be Ksuvasisha. And that number two is only according to Rav Yochanan. And even according to Rav Yochanan, V'afilu Rav Yochanan l'kamai ala be'almana t'kamafsed ha-mizona avagrusha lo. And that's only by the widow, because the widows get supports by mizonos. And that mizonos eats into the estate. But a grusha doesn't get mizonos. She'll get a ksuva payment, but she doesn't get mizonos. So there's no time sensitive. Time is not critical. So just tell her, look, you're going to have to wait. Wait till the kids grow up, and they'll know for sure whether or not the loan has been paid. So Ravina says to Maremar, that's not right. You should not have sold off the properties. So Maremar, in his defense, says, no, I didn't understand Rav Yochanan that way. That's interesting. I didn't think Rav Yochanan was at all about the mazonos. I thought it was about a different issue altogether, and that's the issue of chayin. Okay, chayin is interesting. Chayin could be interpreted one of two ways. You'll see Rashi, right? Try to get consistency in Rashi on the issue of chayin. Chayin is either, look, we want to make women attractive to men, or chayin could be, we want to make men attractive to women. Okay, I don't know which one is more difficult. They're both, right? But basically, chayin goes like this, right? A woman's about to enter into this thing called marriage. She'd like to know, am I going to be taken care of? Meaning, right, before we go into this thing called marriage, meaning, right, and especially in the time of the Gemara, right, marriage is a way to, obviously, you know, marriage is a lot of things, but marriage, from a very pragmatic standpoint, is just simply a way for her to be taken care of. Okay. Now, upon either death or divorce of my husband, right, will I get into red tape? Am I going to get into, like, a lot of interference? Am I not going to get my ksuva? Because if that's all true, this whole marriage thing is going to be overrated. and then it's also from the perspective of the, in other words, from the husband also, meaning that in order to make him more endearing to the woman, other way around. In order to make the woman more endearing to the man, we want her to have. It's easier to marry a woman who has rather than to marry a woman who hasn't. So in other words, we want her to have money so that she'll be more attractive to men.
But it's interesting because on the one hand, you know, the whole issue of chayin is that you're making it easier for her to collect. But it seems like that whole concept of ziburiyah, that she collects from ziburiyah.
Yeah, that's correct. So Zibaris, that's a very good point. Zibaris doesn't fit into the chayin. But Zibaris, but...
And she's the only creditor that...
Right, right. I'm going to say what Phil's saying is that she's getting paid. It's just a question of what grade quality she's getting paid.
The whole point of getting paid is that she's inferior to everybody else in line. She stands last in line.
I'm with. I do hear your point. Your point is excellent, but still, on all said and done, I'm still. I'm going to be with Phil on this issue. She's getting paid. It's not like she's not getting paid.
Another way to look at it too. Really, all the creditors are the borrowers.
Right.
The guys who lend money, we need to give them some incentive so we upgrade.
Right. In other words, the default position, that's a good point. The default position could always be Zibaris. It's that, right, lo ten ol bifnei aloven. We don't want to, we want to encourage lending. And the lender knows, I'm only getting Zibaris as payback. I'm not, right. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman, okay? Okay, it's a lot. I know it's a lot of information. It's a lot of discussion. But basically, here's where we're at. We're at the point now where basically our general position is, right, the children are left with an estate, and their children don't touch the estate. Exceptions would be a loan with interest. Possible other exception would be ksuvas isha. And even that, as you see in the Gemara, as we just went through, is debatable. I mean, debatable. You see, Maramar and Ravina are having a debate whether or not that should have been done. Good. Amar Rav Nachman, Reisha lo hava mizdakin al nechse yasmei. Okay? Rav Nachman said, my original position was, I never, never touched estate of children. I just never touched it. Meaning there are creditors and there are people demanding, you know, their loans be paid back. And again, that's not they have a legitimate claim. But Rav Nachman says, I originally always took the side of the children. I never touched their estate. And what do? You wait till they grow up. Okay, that was Rav Nachman's original position. Kaven d'shaman alahad Rav Huna chavrein mishmei d'rav yasmi d'achle d'lo didhu leizlo basar Shivkaihu, but then I heard a statement made in the name of Rav, a very powerful statement, which is, it's unbelievably powerful. These children are eating the estate, meaning that's where they're getting support from now, is from the estate. And based in appoints an apotropos, a trustee, to make sure that, you know, that the estate doesn't get just simply spent away. But in other words, but right now they're eating the estate. Whose money is it?
It's not
theirs. Right. In other words, it's not their money. If that money is owed to somebody else, it's simply not their money. And so, I'll translate the statement. It's powerful. Yasmi de'achli de'lo didhu. If the orphans are eating money that's not theirs, leizlu baster shivkaihu. They're going to follow the people who left them the money, i.e. their father. Meaning, they're going to die prematurely. if they're eating money that's not theirs. That's powerful. So Rav Nachman says, and basically you see what happened over there, meaning, as I mentioned from the very beginning of this year, meaning in these types of situations, there's two people to consider. There's number one, the orphans, who right now, you want to protect them, and you want to protect their estate. On the other hand, you have also the people who are owed money. And essentially what Rav Nachman shifted in life is he said, originally I was more interested in the orphans, but then my shift in life now is I'm turning to the creditors. Creditors who really owe the money. Mikan ve'elech mizdakakna. So from that point forward, I now, my position later in life has changed, and I have now taken more of the collection philosophy. Mikar, my time alam rav papa, priyas chov, priyas bachov, mitzvah v'yas melo b'nei ma'avid, mitzvah ninhu. So the Gemara now is going to offer two svaras, two arguments, why it is that Rav Nachman's original position is, don't touch the estate. Leave the estate alone. One we already know, but the Gemara is going to introduce us to two. One position is going to be the position of Rav Papa, which is, look, priyas bachov, paying back a chov, is a mitzvah. You hear that? It's right. It's a funny way to talk about paying back a loan. Paying back a loan is a mitzvah. Okay, you could say it in much stronger terms. Don't get me wrong. Mitzvah is a very strong term. But there's mitzvah, and then there is meaning. Right, you have an obligation, and so when you
put a mitzvah when you pay back a loan.
Well, you do. Yeah, paying back a loan is a mitzvah. But on the other, yes, Priyas HaChov is a mitzvah. So, but once you put it in the category of mitzvah, now let's now translate that to somebody who is not literally a bar mitzvah. Right? In other words, once now the dad died, and now the estate is to the children, and these children have this mitzvah opportunity, but they're not b'nei mitzvah. It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Now, what about the fact that there's properties? Or let me repackage my question. What about the fact that there's a shibud? There's a lien on the property. So, you know, the Gemara doesn't talk about this, but I'm thinking out loud. You know, there's a big question throughout all of Shas, whether shibud is d'oraisa or shibud is d'rabbanan. Meaning, liens on property. Is that work on a d'oraisa level? Is that work on a d'rabbanan level? It could be that's another machlok is going on right now, meaning if Shibud is not d'oraisa, so then the only thing left to pay back the obligation is just simply the mitzvah to pay back obligations. Perhaps. Just a suggestion of mine, take it, leave it, do with what you want with it.
Doesn't our fitzvahs have a mitzvah to pay back?
Like no, a because... Yeah. I hear that, but he's not, in other words, he's a custodian. He's just a caretaker. He's not, it's not his property.
He only fears the money. Doesn't deal with him or the kids, nothing?
No. He's entrusted to take care of the money, this thing.
But in Chumash, it says so many times to be mindful of widows and orphans, over and over and over again.
Correct, but here in this case, there's still an obligation. So the Yasmal Abnei Mitzvah Ninder. So that's one reason why Rav Nachman originally never touched the property of minors. Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua Amar Eimat Svarah Yatvasei. And then we have the second Svarah, the Svarah of Huna, which we already seen this morning, which is we're afraid he paid back the loan right before he died. We don't know. There's a slim chance. My Beinayu Yikabeinayu B'Shechayv Mode. Now, Nafkamina, so the Gemara says, I'll give you your Nafkamina. Number one, what if right before he dies, he says, I didn't pay back the loan? Now, according to Rav Huna, do we dip into the estate of the children? Absolutely. Because we know he didn't pay. According to Rav Papa, do we dip into the estate? No. Because the only thing that's forcing us to pay back the loans is only a mitzvah. And the law b'nei mitzvah. Okay, another nafkamina, which is basically going to be the same. Inami shamtua umeis b'shamte, meaning this guy unfortunately is just bad debt, right? And Basin is just really racking their brains. Now there does come a point in time, which is not our discussion for today, where Basin is just going to basically foreclose on their property. Okay, but before that, however, one of the things they're going to do to try to encourage him and try to squeeze him is basically put him in chayim.
But But this is a stronger proof that he never paid the loan.
That's exactly the point. You're right. Spot on. You're right. Right on the money. So the Gemara says, "Inamisham to amez peshamte." So now he died while in Cherem, and the Cherem that was placed on him is because he didn't pay back his loans. And so now again, we're basically now on party lines. According to Rav Huna, the whole reason why we don't collect is because we have a doubt. Maybe he paid back the loans. Now there's no doubt. Now we're going to collect from the estate. According to Rav Papa, it's all about a mitzvah. And again, we come back to the same point. We know dad didn't pay back the loans, but the only thing obligating them to pay back the loans is a mitzvah, and they're not b'nei mitzvah. Shalchu mitam deshamti omitz b'shamte v'hilchsa k'ravuna b'rida of Yeshua. So they sent a letter from there meaning Eretz Yisrael, and the letter basically states, if you didn't pay the loan, and we know you didn't pay the loan, and part of the proof is you died in Cherem, we're going to collect from the estate because we subscribe to the view of Rav Huna. Tanan. Top of Chavez Amud Beis. Yeah, we pass on like Rav Huna. In fact, Tosos says, right, Rav Nachman went through two phases of life. Right? First phase, second phase. First phase of life, he never touched the property. Second phase of life, he did touch the property. Tosos says, we go like Rav Nachman, second phase. Say the second version, right? Rav Nachman 2.0.
But what about
I don't know. That's another question you can ask. When Rav Nachman says, I went into the property. In other words, is that
maybe he goes like Rav Huna?
Right? Meaning, is that only when I'm not clear about that point? It's a very good point that needs clarification. Is that Rav Nachman only when we know he didn't pay, or is he ready to absorb a little bit of risk? Meaning maybe there's a chance he paid? Good, that's a good point. Tanan, top of Chav Beis Amud Beis. Shema Yisamim Shloshim Yom V'Shema Hektesh Shishim Yom U'Machrizim Baboker V'Erev. Okay? Sounds familiar? Of course it sounds familiar. It's a Mishnah. Yeah. V'mayeskinan Ilei Mebabachava V'Kocha V'Mitzayas. So again, if the lender is a non-Jew, so you say to him, do me a favor, my friend, could you wait 30 days? He'll laugh. What? Well, because your Jewish legal court says to wait 30 days? Good. I'm happy for you, for your Jewish judges. I'm not waiting for 30 days. I want to get paid now. Now, we are trying to ascertain who's correct on this point. Rav Huna, Rav Papa. Are we focused on the fact that there's a chance they didn't pay? Or are we focused on the fact that they're not b'nei mitzvah? So, we know the lender is a Jew. Okay? Even though on the Amud Aleph, we entertained the idea that the lender was a non-Jew. But we're back to square one. We know the lender is a Jew. So according to Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua, fine. And no problem at all. Chayav Moda. Meaning, right before he died, he said, I didn't pay back the loan. So the only reason why we're not going and tapping into the estate is because there's a chance he didn't pay. In this case, we know he paid. I'm sorry, we know he didn't pay. Good. El Rav Papa Kashya, but according to Rav Papa, it is difficult. Because according to Rav Papa, we don't dip into the estate because they're not b'nei mitzvah. And it's never going to make a difference whether they pay, they didn't. Who cares? They're simply la b'nei mitzvah. So when would we ever, according to Rav Papa, tap into the estate of the children? Good question. So El Rav Papa Kasha, I'm the Rav Papa Yibayis, they make mishem chinah. So Rav Papa says, I'll give you a couple suggestions. Number one, it could be that the lender in this case is not a lender, but a woman, a widow. And she's entitled to a ksuva payment. A ksuva payment? What do you mean? Why would we pay her over anyone else? Again, we go back to the concept of chayin. Because we want the women to get paid back their ksuva obligations. Right? We want to make men attractive to women. We want to make women attractive to men. We want this to work. So therefore, even though under normal circumstances we would not sell off properties of the children, for ksuva and ksuva payment, we will. So and again, we're going to go back to the thing, what we said on the Amud Aleph. It was a non-Jew who's a lender. Non-Jew is a lender. How is he going to listen? So he agreed at the inception of the loan, I will listen to the court. Okay. Limited agreement, but he agreed. Tashma. Again, It's the Braisa that we saw in the Amud Aleph. The Braisa says, when do we go into the estate for a ksuva of a woman and for a balchov? Now, again, can it be a non-Jew? Is he going to listen? So according to Rav Huna, yeah, we're gonna sell off property of the estate when dad dies and he says, I didn't pay. Good. So ksuva, I understand. But a balchov, why would we ever sell off estate to pay off creditors if it's all about doing the right thing, if it's all about a mitzvah and their lav b'nei mitzvah? Same story. He agreed he was going to listen to a Jewish court. Rava Amar Mishum Shover. Okay? New suggestion on the part of the Gemara. Why don't we sell off the properties of the miners because of a receipt? End of Baba Basra, major debate, do we write receipts? Okay, we live in a world of receipts. Our whole system of business is predicated on receipts. Back then, receipts were not favored. Why? Because if you paid back your obligation, and now the only thing holding you back from having satisfied your loan is holding a receipt in your hands, that's rough stuff. You may lose the receipt. Yeah, right. I'm good at that. So Rava Amar Mishum Shover Amalei Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua Rava Umichai Shin LeShover HaTanan and Nifrash Lo B'Fanel Lo Tifar Ala B'Shvua. So the Gemara says, really, really, that's a concern. So if you're getting paid, right, not in his presence, so the only way you can get paid is with a shvua. This is talking about a woman and her collection of the ksuva. The Amar Avachar Sar Habira Ma'isav Alafnei Rav Yitzchak Nafcha LaAntuchia VaAmar Lo Shanu Ala Ksuva Sisha. When is it that anybody's going to get paid without the creditor, without the borrower being there? That's only ksuvas isha mishum china v'abachov lo. But you'll never pay back a bachov. Rabam Rav Nachman afilu bachov nami v'ichai shila shover hasam nami nechush. So the Gemara says, now if you're worried about shover, so shouldn't you worry over there? Amalei hasam ki darmin and time shalai hei kol echa nota ma'asav shal chavero v'holech v'yoshev lo b'medina sayam. Look, in general, why don't we like to pay people off? Because without the borrower being there, it's very simple, because you'll get paid and you'll just simply run off with the money. Ama Rava Hilchasa Ein is Kakin Lenichse Yisomim. Okay, now Rava says again on this big issue, right? Do we ever touch the estate of the kids? So he says no. The Ama Tenu Niskakin. Sadazu Umanazu Niskakin. Now, if instructions were from the father, go sell off, so then you do. If he pointed to particular fields, so then we're going to go. The imam in apotropos, and you don't appoint an apotropos. Sadistam umanistam niskaken umamidam apotropos. Meaning, if he says, "Look, I do owe money, and you can go after properties," but he doesn't specify which property to go after in order to satisfy his obligation. So, A, obviously you're gonna sell off the estate, but now you have to determine which property to sell off. Now you get an apotropos involved. Now you have to get a trustee. Amri Nahardai Bekul Nizkakan Ma'amidan an apotropos. In Nahardai, Nahardai's position, much like Rav Nachman's position, is you do sell off the property of the estate to pay off loans, and you do appoint an apotropos in order to determine which property should be sold off. If, however, witnesses step forward and say, you know, that piece of property that's part of the estate, that doesn't belong to him. He, dad, who died, he stole that piece of property. Witnesses came in and testify. We don't question. We don't do any more investigation. Meaning two witnesses say that, we believe the two witnesses. Right, two kosher witnesses have a chazaka of being credible. Am Rav Ashi Hilchach is the kukul mustakina, daha Rav Hilchzayin is kaken. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rava, we don't touch the estate. The im is dakina mokmina apotropos. Damer nadai bekul niskakina niskakina ma'amina apotropos. And if you are going to touch the estate, you need to do it via apotropos. Lavar minim sasada shenu shalo da'achzuki saha de'bishakol mechazkina. Okay, and that is the end of the sugya. It's a very long sugya, And it's challenging because the Gemara keeps going back and forth in terms of what is the accepted position. And not only does the Gemara keep going back and forth, you see even Rav Nachman himself went back and forth in terms of what is the position regarding going and touching the property of the children. Essentially, the bottom line, I know that's, you know, what we want to try to get from this, is that generally the position is not to, unless there are mitigating circumstances. Two of them, which the Gemara definitely concedes to, is if the loan has interest and that's eating into the property, or two, if it's Suvas Isha, where she's going to get mizonos. Okay. Let's do a little bit more. I know we have just a couple minutes left. Hamakdish Nechasev, I'm just going to introduce this next topic. Hamakdish Nechasev, V'haitzar Alav Ksuvas Isha. A person decides to get really religious later in life. And so what does he do? He says, you know what, I'm giving all my property to the Beis HaMikdash. And besides, what do I need it for? It's just material wealth. Overrated. So he gives off all of his properties. V'haitza Alav Ksuvas Isha. Oh, there's just one small problem, and that is... Right, he forgot that he has to pay off one of his ex-wives. It's an issue. So Rabbi Lazar Amar, I'm sorry, it's not an ex-wife yet. Not yet. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Kishi Garshenu, Yidur Hana. So Rabbi Lazar says, so when you divorce her, so here's what you have to do. Make a neder that you're never going to remarry her again. What? Yeah, makes perfect sense. Because, look, he just gave away everything, right? He gave away the farm. And he's thinking to himself, was I crazy? What just happened over there? But he did. He gave it away. So he says to his wife, look, honey, let's do the following, okay? I want to get some of it back. So here's what I'll do. It's very simple. I'll divorce you. Just listen carefully. I'll divorce you. Right? You have your ksuva. Your ksuva now has a shibud on my property. You're going to go collect your ksuva, meaning the shibud on the property, back from the hands of Hekdesh, and then I'll remarry you. Okay? Good. Good. I mean...
It's a mitzvah.
Good. And right. And it's a mitzvah to remarry. That's correct. In my lifetime, I've seen that happen. So, okay, good. That is the position of Rebbe Lazar. So in order to avoid that, so Rebbe Lazar says, you know what you have to do? When he divorces his wife, make a neder. A neder to the extent that I will not marry her again. Because you don't want them deceiving, right? You don't want shenanigans, right? Rabbi Yoshua, just wait, there's a lot of issues over here. Okay, wait just 1 second. I'm Rabbi Yoshua, Omer Eino Tzarech. And Rabbi Yoshua says, not necessary. Now, Rabbi Yeshua's statement is vague and needs clarification. Tomorrow we'll clarify Rabbi Yeshua. Just get through the Mishnah. Let's say, man wants to marry a woman, but he literally has nothing. And the woman says, look, right? Love you. Looks great. But come on. I mean, right? In other words, you need some. I'm not going to marry you if you have nothing. And what are you going to do? You're going to promise me that you... I need more. Get a cosigner. Get a cosigner on the ksuva, and then we'll talk marriage. And so he does. He gets an arev. He gets a guarantor. Now v'haya bala megarsha, and now the husband divorces her. Same story, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Yidirenu hana shamayasi kinunya al nechasim shazev yachter zishta. Because again, we're worried that what is he going to do? What he's going to do is basically say to her, "Look, let's make some money. I'll divorce you. You'll collect your ksuva. We'll remarry." Wonderful. And so therefore, in order to avoid that, you'll make a neder. Now, a lot to discuss over here. Okay, tomorrow we'll get into some very good discussion. Well, you know, one of the best parts of the discussion, which the Gemara doesn't have, and I'll end with this, is that, you know, in general, we say regarding Hekdesh breaks all Shibudim. Yeah, right. Right. Right, so we'll talk a little bit. He talks about that also in his notes. Yeah, read it. It's very good. All right, we'll talk about that tomorrow.